The Nature of Managerial Work, author Henry Mintzberg. Why the Nature of Managerial Work is a Business Classic. What do managers actually do? How do they do it, and why? These are fundamental questions. There are a number of generally accepted answers, but the reality largely went unexplored until Henry Mintzberg's The Nature of Managerial Work was published in 1973. Instead of accepting pat answers to perennial questions, Mintzberg went in search of the reality. He simply observed what a number of managers actually did. The resulting book blew away the managerial mystique. Activity characterized by brevity, variety, and fragmentation. The manager becomes conditioned by his workload. He develops a sensitive appreciation for opportunity cost of his own time, the benefits foregone by doing one thing instead of another. Thus, he takes on much work because he realizes his own worth to the organization. In addition, he is aware of the ever-present assortment of obligations associated with his job. No matter what he's doing, the manager is plagued by what he might do and what he must do. In effect, the manager is encouraged by the realities of his work to develop a particular personality, to overload himself with work, to do things abruptly, to avoid wasting time, to participate only when the value of participation is tangible, and to avoid too great an involvement with any one issue. To be superficial is no doubt an occupational hazard of managerial work. In order to succeed, the manager must presumably become proficient at his superficiality. Preference for live action. The manager's desire to have the most current information was strongly and frequently. A most interesting phenomenon was that of an instant communication, the very current hot information that flowered frequently and informally by telephone or unscheduled meetings. It received top priority, often interrupting meeting, and it easily satisfied the secretary's criteria for entry to the chief executive's office. Often, they redesigned workdays or redirected meetings because of some instant communication they received. The job breeds adaptive information, manipulators who prefer the live, concrete situation. The manager works in an environment of stimulus response, and he develops in his work a clear preference for live action between his organization and network of contacts. We may summarize by characterizing the manager's position as the neck of an hourglass. Information and requests flow to him from a wide variety of outside contacts. He sits between this network of contacts and his organization, shifting what is received from the outside and sending much of it into his organization. Other informational inputs and requests come from below, some to be used by him, others to be sent back to different parts of the organization or outside to the manager's contacts. Blend of rights and duties. The manager is able to make a set of initial decisions that define many of his own long-term commitments. He has the power to develop his own information channels, although, having done so, he does not control the day-to-day information that flows to him. Clearly, control is exerted in terms of a few crucial decisions, many of them made shortly after the manager assumes office. The manager's working roles. Each manager must manage an organization within a complex environment. To do so, the incumbent manager must perform a set of managerial roles and the requirements of these roles to lead to certain common work characteristics. Managerial activities may be divided into three groups: those that are concerned primarily with interpersonal relationships, those that deal primarily with the transfer of information, and those that essentially involve decision-making. It is for this reason that the 10 roles of managers are divided into three groups: 3 interpersonal roles, 3 informational roles, and 4 decisional roles. The interpersonal roles. Consider the following activities performed by chief executives: ceremonial work, requests to subordinates to follow up on work, letters acknowledging other letters, replies to inconsequential requests received because of the manager's status, and replies to inconsequential requests received because of the manager's status. There are 2 features common to all these activities. Each one links directly to the manager's status and authority, and each essentially involves the development of interpersonal relationships. The manager as a figurehead. Most basic and most simple of all managerial roles is that of a figurehead. Because of his formal authority, the manager is a symbol, obliged to perform a number of duties. Some of these are trite, others are of an inspirational nature. All involve interpersonal, but none involve significant information processing or decision-making. The manager as a leader. The key purpose of the leader role is to effect integration between individual needs and organizational goals. Further, it is in the leader's role that managerial power most clearly manifests itself. Formal authority vests the manager with great potential power. Leadership activity determines how much of it will be realized. The informational roles. Because of his status and its manifestation in the liaison role, the manager has unique access to a variety of knowledgeable outsiders, including other managers who are themselves nerve centers of their own organizations. Hence, he has unique access to a network of nerve centers. The result is that the manager becomes the focal point in his organization for special external information, or his sources ensure that he is best informed about events in his organization's environments. The manager as monitor. The manager seeks information in order to detect changes, to identify problems and opportunities, to build up knowledge about his milieu, to build up knowledge about his organization, to be informed when information must be disseminated and decisions made. The manager can expect little help in the performance of his monitor role from the traditional formal information system. It provides largely historical, aggregated information, whereas he seeks current trigger information. The manager must therefore design his own information system. This is done by developing his own contacts and by establishing special communication channels within his organization. The manager as disseminator. His special access to information allows the manager to play the important role of disseminator, sending external information to his organization and internal information from one subordinate to another. The information is of two distinguishable types, factual and value. The decisional roles. Probably the most crucial part of the manager's work, the part that justifies his great authority and his power access to the information, is that performed in his decisional roles. These roles involve the manager in the strategy-making process in his organization. The manager as entrepreneur. In the entrepreneur role, the manager acts as initiator and designer of much of the controlled change in his organization. The word controlled implies that this role encompasses all activities where the manager makes changes of his own free will, exploiting opportunities, solving non-pressing problems. This change takes place in the form of improvement projects, many of which are supervised directly by the manager and all of which come under his control in one way or another. The manager is resource allocator. Resource allocation is the heart of the organization's strategy-making system, for it is in making of choices involving significant organizational resources that strategies are determined. As formal authority, the manager must oversee the system by which organizational resources are allocated. Among organizational resources are money, time, material and equipment, manpower, and reputation. Each of these can be allocated positively or negatively. That is, decisions can be taken to use up or to protect these resources. Skills managers need. Management schools have so far given little attention to the development of basic managerial skills, hence they've done really little to train managers. One way to determine what skills managers need is to analyze the roles they perform. Peer skills. The peer skills deal with the manager's ability to enter into and effectively maintain peer relationships. Leadership skills. The leadership skills focus on the manager's ability to deal with his subordinates, to motivate and train them, provide help, deal with problems of authority and dependence, and so on. Conflict resolution skills. Included here are the interpersonal skills of mediating and between conflicting individuals and the decisional skill of handling disturbances. In using both these skills, the manager must work under stress. Information processing skills. Management students should learn how to build informal information networks, find sources of information and extract what they need, validate information, assimilate it, and build effective mental models. Furthermore, they should learn how to disseminate information, express their ideas effectively, and speak formally as representatives of the organization. Skills in decision-making under ambiguity. The manager must first decide when a decision must be made. He must then diagnose the situation and plan an approach to it. He must search for solutions and evaluate their consequences. Finally, he must select an alternative. Resource allocation skills. Managers are required to choose among competing resource demands. They must decide how to allocate their own time, determine what work their subordinates must do, and in what formal structure they must work, and pass judgments, sometimes very quickly, on projects that require organizational resources. Entrepreneurial skills. This set of decisional skills involves the search for problems and opportunities, and the controlled implementation of change in organizations. Skills of introspection. The manager should be sensitive to his own impact on his organization. He should be able to learn by introspection. Most important, students should be encouraged to develop the skills of introspection needed to continue to learn by themselves on the job. In short, these 10 roles form a gestalt, an integrated whole. In essence, the manager is an input-output system, in which authority and status give rise to interpersonal relationships that lead to inputs, the information, and these in turn lead to outputs, information, and decisions. One cannot arbitrarily remove one role and expect the rest to remain intact. A manager who ceases to perform a liaison role loses access to external information, and so cannot disseminate good information or make effective strategic decisions.